one little verse from that story. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. Not so long ago now, really within the past couple of years, the vestry of this church has undertaken to greatly increase the energy efficiency of St. John's by installing an incredibly efficient new gas-burning furnace right beneath your feet. And we all held the reasonable hope that this would help us to achieve lower expenses for our utilities because we were shifting from heating oil to natural gas as our fuel source. It was a very good plan, and it was made after a great deal of deliberation. And now comes the news that electricity prices in New England this winter are expected to be higher than in any other place in the country. Now, when you go to coffee hour, you might as well know that one of us at least works for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and you can talk to her about that. But it feels a little bit as though we just can't win, unless maybe we just give up electricity, in which case we would become the first Amish Episcopal Church in America. We have been thinking seriously about energy for about 40 years now. Remember, since the time of the first oil crisis. Some of us are old enough to remember the days before then. Gas was 33 cents a gallon. And you didn't really think much about things like insulation or R factors or programmable thermostats. In a lot of ways, the oil crisis was the best thing that ever happened to us. It not only made us aware of the fragility of our dependence on fossil fuels, it may just turn out to be what history will point to as the moment that finally turned our first steps away from irreversibly damaging our fragile climate. But the thing that we got right was that we planned. We saw what was coming, we understood that we needed to make a change, and we made careful and considered plans. This strange little story this morning from Matthew is like a foretaste of Advent a couple of weeks early. It is an Advent of Advent. And those of you who are really careful in taking note of what we sing in the hymnal will have already noted that that hymn you just sang is in the Advent section of the hymnal. And the last hymn we sing this morning is going to be the great Advent hymn, Sleepers Wake. We are adventing Advent. But this story is not really a story about bridesmaids and bridegrooms that appear out of the dead of night. It isn't really even a story about lamps and oil and the need to keep a sufficient supply of oil on hand at all times. This little parable, remember, starts out with the most important clue. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. That doesn't mean there will be bridesmaids and a bridegroom or lamps or oil or even a banquet, although very often the description Jesus gives us of what heaven will be like involves a feast and a banquet. No, what the story is meant to relate is not caught up in its details, but in the narrative elements that make the story work. The bridesmaids could just as well be farmers setting aside grain for the winter, or firefighters making sure the tanker truck is filled with water, or accountants making sure that there's a good enough supply of paper laid in for tax season. What the story teaches us about the kingdom of heaven is three things. First, you already know what you need to get there. The smart bridesmaids and the foolish bridesmaids all know this one thing. If you're waiting for somebody who's coming in the night, you better have a lamp with you. And they all know that lamps need oil. Some of them take responsibility for planning accordingly, and some of them don't. Knowing what is needed is not the same thing as doing it. Saying the words of the creed is not the same thing as living the faith. And as Bishop Gates reminded us at convention yesterday, wearing a cross is not the same thing as being a Christian. We already know what we need to do to get there. Second, we don't know when the moment will come when we need to be ready to get up and go. In one sense, that is a message about the fragility of this life of ours. It is a reminder, if we needed a reminder, that our circumstances can change calamitously in the flash of a moment. That life can end suddenly and unexpectedly. But in another sense, this is, again, a herald of the themes that we'll hear in Advent. It may be that the return, that moment that heralds the coming of the kingdom and the return of Christ, that is the future our faith proclaims. And in that moment, whatever it means and however it unfolds, our preparation will be shown for exactly what it was worth, for good or ill. You know what you need to do to get there. You don't know when the moment will come that you have to get up and go. And finally, not everybody gets to go. This is a part of the message that we struggle with. The implication of the story of the bridesmaids at least seems to be this judgment, the exclusion of some people and the inclusion of others. And it is not random. It is based entirely and only on merit. If you have prepared, you enter in. If you are out trying to pull together a few things at the very last moment before showing up at 10 minutes past 10, you know who you are. Then you may find the door shut and the chance lost. One way to preach this homily this morning would have been to lock the door at 10. Who would have been here? Who would not have? This is where we part company from our brothers and sisters who claim the label universalists. This basic idea, the idea that heaven is in some way a place with a gate, that there are those who will not be admitted. That's an idea that has been deeply troubling to people of goodwill and deep conscience down through the centuries of Christian tradition, so much so that they have constructed a whole theology based on offering an alternative take on texts like this one. But Jesus seems to have a pretty clear message here. Not everyone gets to the banquet. This is not all bad news, because the way to be admitted is not to be of a specific race or class or talent level or education or any of those things. It is not something unreachable by anyone. It simply takes doing it. And the it is the rest of the gospel message. It is living out and doing the will of our loving God. That is the good news in all of this. The oil crisis can be avoided. We can make sure that we get to enter into the banquet when the bridegroom comes. We simply need to do what we already know is necessary. Pray, work, forgive, and give thanks. Get ready. Advent is coming. Amen.